broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw. Boy, we got ourselves some really wet weather. It's going to be a soaking at the Plantation course in only 3 days and 20 hours until the Century Tournament of Champions. It's so exciting. What's not so exciting? Did you survive the reenactment of World War II last night? Yes, that was really quite something. Flash flood watch now for the North Shore and Leeward Oahu, and that's until 6 o'clock Sunday. Flash flood watch, North Shore, Leeward Oahu. Otherwise, Kauai and Oahu cloudy, showers in the morning, isolated thunderstorms throughout the day, numerous showers the afternoon. That goes for Maui County for the most part as well. High today, about 79. The winds are going to be southerlies, about 15 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy, numerous showers, isolated thunderstorms, Windward and Mauka, scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms. Leeward, you're kind of getting the picture here. This kind of goes all the way through Sunday. Monday, it kind of lightens up a little bit, not as much rain. Winds start to shift. Easterlies, about 15 on Tuesday. So we got ourselves some winter weather in Hawaii, and I've got a great show for you today. We've got Diana DeLucia, founder and editor of Golf Kitchen at golfkitchen.com. We're going to go over the last year and what a year she's had. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Wailea Golf Academy. Have you made a resolution? Have you resolved to do better at putting? We're going to take you through that one. Bob Herrig, longtime golf writer, author of soon-to-be-published Tiger and Phil, joins us on the show today. Ray Stosic, tournament director, Sony Open in Hawaii, will be on the show today. And Jeff Shackelford, author, golf writer, host, jeffshackelford.com. That's where you go. Publisher, The Quadrilateral, a major championship-focused newsletter, and a daily newsletter, all for you from Jeff Shackelford. After we thank the people who make this show possible.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24-7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood, ready to hang or custom made, sales and service, that's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new megastore is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Jeff Shackelford, author, writer, blogger, podcaster, golf architect, television analyst, and now newsletter publisher. He's all at golf. That would be jeffshackelford.com. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jeff.
Danielle, good to talk to you again. Our annual New Year's tradition.
Yes. It's so funny. Jeff asked, what time am I supposed to call in? I'm like, well, of course, 7 o'clock, 9 your time. It's always like that.
I know. You gave me the top spot. I'm feeling the pressure.
No, this is wonderful. And I love what's on your newsletter at the top. New Year's is a harmless annual institution of no particular use to anybody, save as a scapegoat for promiscuous drunks and friendly calls and humbug resolutions. And we wish you to enjoy with a looseness suited to the greatness of the occasion. From Mark Twain.
Yeah, boy, he could write, couldn't he?
Yes,
I wish
could.
I could come up with something like that.
Yes, indeed he could. So, the year in review, I definitely want to take on the PIP, and I want to take on the USGA, and I want to take on some of the things that have changed. I want to start with what I thought was interesting when I was going through everybody else's, you know, the top 10 things that happened and the number of things. One of them was the comebacks of the year. And I thought, this is very interesting. The comebacks of the year, I did not have them in the order. The comeback stories, top comeback stories. Who do you have top comeback stories on your list?
Not a clue. No, who have you got on your list?
Okay, well, so there's, right. So Lydia Ko was in the top 10.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Lydia, right? Along with Jordan Spieth and Arya Jutanugarn.
Yeah, I don't know about the Spieth one. I feel like comeback, don't you think it should speak to coming back from an injury? I guess, but in golf is such a cruel game. We are more than happy to lump in people who have just kind of lost their game, which
yes.
we can all relate to. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I always, when we used to have the Comeback Player of the Year award, which they killed when Steve Stricker won it for the third time, I always felt like that should be somebody who came back from injury. But, you know, I think it's a game where we don't see that happen as often, where people really lose it. You know, we used to see that more often. I think the equipment prevents that a little bit more, and then all the knowledge that's around the players and the way they know how to recover and all that. So we don't see the injuries quite like we used to, although we're still going to have them because of the way players are encouraged to swing at the ball. But I guess, you know, we ultimately have such admiration for all three of those names.
Yeah.
Just knowing that they struggled and they figured out a way back, because some people don't. They don't
exactly.
get out of that hole, and they don't find whatever it was that was ailing their game, or why they lost motivation, or why they just simply couldn't shoot better scores. So, you know, I hats off to all three of them, I'd say. And I think Lydia, though, is the most impressive, just because she was so good, and the way she fell off, you thought, oh, she's not coming back, she's toast.
Yeah, well, I felt the same way about Spieth, and I was really curious about Jutanugarn, whether she'd get her smile back. Vision 54 always taught her, you know, a smile
yeah.
on your face automatically brightens your mood. It doesn't matter whether you actually feel it, just do it. Eventually, you'll feel it, right? Okay, another one on the comeback list. There is Annika Sorenstam, but she really doesn't come back. She came back to competition. She blew everybody away, but I didn't really think of it as a comeback
no.
story. Yeah? Yeah.
No.
Yes,
no.
exactly.
But, you know, we've seen this, though. It is interesting how these great players will retire and kind of disappear, and we've seen it so long, as you know, with the seniors, and then suddenly they find something when they hit that magic age, that number, and it's sort of inexplicable, really. I've talked about it with senior players, and it's just fascinating. You know, it used to be about a 20-year mark of playing, and then they just hit a wall, and then something about that senior tour or senior events, in her case, the U.S. Senior Women's Open, sparks something. Sometimes it's just wanting to show their kids that they used to be able to do this thing and be really good at it. You just never know, but it's admirable in either way.
Yeah. Okay, now here's a really good one. I couldn't even understand where the comeback thing came from. Richard Bland, he hadn't won a tournament.
Yeah, that's
not a comeback. He didn't. Yeah.
No.
Right.
Great story, though. Amazing story of persistence, and it was just such. It was one of my favorite tournaments of the year, really, because we. You know, it was just a big tournament to win, and then he was interviewed after the round by Tim Barter, who had the class to not even mention the fact that he's his instructor and was the person who was helping him kind of finally get to this point of winning a tournament. And he was emotional, as a lot of the people were around it, just because Richard Bland's such a nice guy and he's been around so long. And then we found out a lot of us didn't know this. So Tim was his coach. He's one of the great broadcasters in golf, and it was just that was a special one. But come back, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Finally won at the age of 48. Wonderful. Absolutely fantastic story, and that's why in today's world I don't give as much weight to the idea of guys winning at 50 as maybe 20 years ago when no one was working out and everybody kind of had a little something around the tummy. That's where I go to Phil Mickelson, who, you know, comes back to the winner's circle on the PGA Tour. PGA Championship at Kiowa, amazing. He was 50 years old. It was amazing. But all that knowledge that he has, I just didn't see that as a comeback.
No. We've kind of anticipated this. I think Vijay was the first player that gave us that inkling that if somebody was still motivated, that we were going to see somebody break the records for oldest major winner and oldest winner on the tour. And I still think we will. I believe with all the wisdom and the tools you can at your disposal to recover from injuries and to travel by private jet, that we're going to see it. The thing with Phil, why there's no way that's a comeback, and why Phil was always relevant and will be relevant, is that if you look at Sam Snead, he lingered into his 60s and was able to contend in majors with no short game. And Phil, as we know, still has. It's not what it was in his youth, but who is that good around the greens? But he is still one of the great recovery artists around the greens, and the putting isn't as great, but it's still very serviceable. And so and they have the same kind of body type, very fluid swing. They're going to avoid a lot of injuries. So Phil, to me, is that there's just no way. It was an amazing win and a shock. And, of course, if you look at the rest of the year, other than his Champions Tour play, he was terrible. But he has that short game, Danielle, and that is something that you don't often see players retain world-class short game into their 50s and 60s.
Okay. Now, you know they're all shouting at us. Can we call Tiger Woods? Tiger Woods, is that a comeback?
Now that is a comeback. That is a comeback. to be in as bad a shape as he was, and to make 11 birdies in a row with his son looking like nothing happened. That was incredible, and I hope we get to see more of it in 2022.
Yeah, that was like, you know, talk about a mic drop moment when I saw that 3 second of him swinging out of nowhere. All of a sudden, it's posted. I'm like, huh? And I'm looking at it over and over and over again, like somehow if I watch it long enough, it'll turn into a full round of golf, you know?
Yeah. No, it was a shocker. But obviously he was, when you have a backyard little golf course, you can practice and nobody knows what you're up to. And sure enough, he was. And I'm still in shock from it, but glad that he was able to do it, and hopefully he didn't injure himself in any way, and we'll get to see him sometime this year. I know you have Bob Harrigan later, and Bob saw him down there at that tournament, so he could give you a better assessment. But it sounds like, you know, the goal is the Open Championship at St. Andrews is the most likely. But as fast as he came back to play in the Father's Son, I won't put anything past him at this point. Anything could happen.
All right, and now let's talk about some really amazing golf that was played. I mean, some of the playoffs that we had, some of the determination to win that we saw in the second half of this year. Patrick Cantlay beats Bryson DeChambeau at the BMW Championship and then holds off John Rahm, the Tour Championship. Was that amazing golf? Mind golf?
Now, Danielle, you know that I do a newsletter now completely focused on major championship golf. So you know I check out once the last major's played. Come on now. The FedEx Cup, yawn. It was fine. Yes, it was a nice finish. I just don't, you know, compared to what John Rahm did in the U.S. Open,
okay,
making two of the hardest putts imaginable at Torrey Pines on back-to-back holes. What Phil Mickelson did in the PGA, what Hideki Matsuyama, the pressure he overcame in the to win the Masters, and then, of course, Colin Morikawa. I find those things just to be more monumental wins than playoff events. Nice year for Patrick, absolutely, but he was not good in the majors, and I'm sure that's something that's been bugging him and why he's probably going to be a real force the next couple of years in the majors, because he is somebody who thinks about shaping his game around that kind of play. But he's got a nice, whatever it is, $15 million in the bank that will soften the blow of a bad year in the majors.
It'll give him a lot of time to not worry about having an income while he works on his game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to be all right.
Yes. Well, you know, you just named everybody. Colin Morikawa made his first 22 cuts as a pro, won the PGA Championship, won the Open. He won the DP World Tour Championship.
Crazy.
What a year.
Just
did he have the best year?
You know, it's It's a tough question. I did vote for him in our, you know, the Golf Writers vote player of the year for the calendar year from January 1 to the end. And John Rahm did have a better record in the majors, but Colin had a very good record in the majors. And then when you combine everything else he did in terms of the year, obviously I couldn't count John Rahm at the Memorial because he had to withdraw. I voted for Colin. I spent a lot of time on it, which I usually don't. but I thought about it, and our vote is for the beginning of the year to the end of the year, and he was the player who was the most consistent throughout the year. And
yeah,
I mean they're both, but they both had such great years. It's like, you know, in the women's game, you know Nelly had a great year, but. You can make it. I mean, it's not easy to vote on those things, and because you feel like, well, these other players, you don't diminish what they did. It's just that you have to pick one.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things about John Rahm that really, when he revealed his club foot and how he has to modify some of his movement because of it, it was like, wow. I would never.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. Yeah, we were. That was a surprise, and kind of acting like we should all know that. It was like, no, wait, what?
What?
we were supposed to know that. So yeah, that explains some interesting things, and makes him that more amazing. But I just can't tell you. You know, I don't think. I know there's been a lot of play about what he did at Torrey Pines, but it's still. I spent a lot of time at that course, and left to right putts are brutal for right-handers usually. And then those two downhill, the U.S. Open.
Yes.
I just don't think they've really been appreciated for how rare it is to see something like that. And by the way, greens at the end of the day, they're beat up, they're bumpy, POA. I mean, just factor it all in. It's as crazy as Phil winning the PGA. Those two things are just, to me, stand above everything else as the things that kind of make you marvel looking back at the year.
Well, Jaime Diaz today, or at some point, I don't know, I was listening to something somewhere, and he said those final two putts were the best two putts ever, ever in a major championship win, ever. So you're, you know, everyone seems to agree with you because I always agree with Jaime.
Yeah, I'll have to think about that, but I guess back-to-back putts like that, yeah, I can't think of anything comparable.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing thing to pull off, especially on a day where everybody else was kind of bad, and that 67 he shot will go down as, it's not as flashy as a 63 at Oakmont, but it when you look at how everybody else folded and played, it really will go down as one of the great rounds.
I'm so glad you mentioned Nelly Korda, because I am so thrilled that we have such an amazing athlete, golfer, mind. She's just so terrific, because for so long we've had very, very, very talented, strong South Korean players. And I see in her that which, I don't know, lifts up the American side and gives us more competition where we would sometimes not have it. And this is really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, she's the whole package. She's clutch, under pressure. Her game kind of goes to another level in major championships, and yeah, it's nothing against Jin Young Ko
or Indy Park.
Who's still kind of an unbelievable marvel, just cruising along and still one of the best women in the world, or Se-young Kim. But I just think Nelly's the whole game. I mean, to me, I got to watch her some this year at Wilshire, Danielle, and if you can believe it, the only flaw that I could see in her game is that she plays too fast sometimes, and she lets it get to her, because she is a fast player, and most pro golfers these days, men or women, are not fast, and she almost plays shots too quickly that I saw, and Wow, what a nice thing to have that as your flaw.
Yes.
As I don't see any other weaknesses in her game, and that's you know, that's just something you don't see very often. We even the very best players, you know, Colin Morikawa is not a great putter sometimes. Phil Mickelson, as we know, his head drifts off into other places, and you know, all the talent's there. So we just every player you can probably name the obvious flaw in their game, and I don't really think there is a one that stands out with Nelly, and that's what you know. It really, now is a matter of staying healthy and playing the right amount, and she's going to get a lot of requests to play, and she's got to say no sometimes because the LPGA is doing better and has a nice full schedule, and so those are good pressures to have.
Yep, and I'm really excited for the LPGA LET. The whole thing, and I certainly hope we hear something about the TV deal and where they're going to insert more of their tournament play on television so we see more women in the game and how excellent they are. Let me just say, I need to, you know, I always talk too much with you, so I'm having a wonderful time. Thank you. I Phil Mickelson, though, there's something about seeing him standing next to this pile of money declaring himself the PIP, Player Impact Program. Is it that way?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just made me, yuck. It was horrible. And I think we're right now, the last 15 minutes, we've been talking about great things in this game.
Yeah.
And that's not a great thing in this game.
No, it's a big problem. I wrote about it a little bit as this thing started to heat up again with the Saudi-backed thing with Greg Norman, and then we have the PIP. And we have a real danger in golf right now that, unfortunately, is something that I don't sense they understand how to address, but it is that the fans don't want to – they don't care about bonus pools and – I mean, there's some people who are intrigued by the money, and Google searches will tell you that people like to look up what the purse is. But for the most part, players talking about money and the burden of the decision of which the thing to play in to get more money, and nobody wants to hear that. And it's a real danger to these tours, and that the PGA Tour's answer so far to this disruptive force has been to just, you know, throw more money out there and more weird bonus pools and secret ones like this PIP thing, and then have people wondering if players are tweeting to get more numbers and rack up Google searches or whatever it is. It's just awful for the sport, and it's such an indictment of what a just a horrible job Jay Monahan's doing right now, and not having that big picture view of, and I realize they have a lot of things coming at them, but this is what you pay somebody $8 or $9 million a year to figure out is, hey, wait a second, players, this is not a good look for us. But they are they have a business structure that rewards the executives, in a lot of ways that are all about more tournaments and more bonus pools and all this. And so they're all in a little bit of a bubble, and I just don't think they grasp the potential pushback that fans are going to have, which is, you know, we don't tune in to find out how much money you're making. We tune in to watch you play, and we love watching you play golf. And so we'll see how this plays out. But you've kind of nailed what I fear is a big, big problem coming into this year.
Wow, Jeff, you know, I wanted to talk about Mike Wan and Mike Davis. I have great faith in Mike Wan in about 30 seconds. How about you?
I don't. This is a very different job than what he used to do at the LPGA. That's a promotion, marketing, kind of energy job. The USGA, you're making the rules. You're the lawmakers. You're the kind of the long-term vision for the game. And he is talking about that part, but I don't have a lot of confidence that he'll be able to handle the rules part. And so I think it's going to lead to some interesting moments this year.
Wow, I'm going to have to save 30 minutes next time, because if I only got you once a year.
Well, when we come, well, we're going to have some news soon on distance and all that. So we'll evaluate Mike Wan then. How's that?
I would love it. Oh, you've made my year. Okay. Jeff Shackelford, author, writer, blogger, podcaster, golf architect, television analyst, and now newsletter publisher. It's all at jeffshackelford.com. Thank you for being on the show.
All right. Thank you, Danielle. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Aloha. Ray Stosic, tournament director, Sony Open in Hawaii. He's up next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Iwilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Aloha, this is PGA Tour winner and major champion Colin Morikawa. Join me and the best players in the world at the 2022 Century Tournament of Champions, January 5th through 9th at the Plantation Course at Kapalua. Don't miss Maui's premier event, which is fun for the whole family. This year, Hawaii residents can get a special Kama'aina ticket presented by Southwest Airlines. These ticket packages and more are available at CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
Yes, put that number down, 528-3434, with the water that's coming down. I mean, a flash flood warning, or make that a watch, a warning could come out of that watch for the North Shore and Leeward Oahu until 6 o'clock tomorrow. MD Restoration not only will take care of the mitigation, but also help you put things back together. 528-3434.
Wow. What a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Ray Stosic, tournament director, Sony Open in Hawaii. It's January 10th to the 16th. Wildlife Country Club, welcome into the clubhouse, Ray.
Thanks, Danielle. Happy New Year to you and all of your staff.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you. The focus of the Sony Open has been raising the $1.2 million for Hawaii charities, especially during this really critical time in our economy, in our history, with the support of loyal sponsors and community partners, and the tournament continuing to prioritize health and safety. That's really, you know, the fact that you folks are able to put this all together, kudos. This must be a challenge and yet a really exciting time.
It is, Danielle. I'm entering into our second Sony Open dealing with COVID-19. It has been quite a challenge. It's very fluid. So we, based on our philosophy of just protecting everyone at the tournament, in from the players to the spectators to the volunteers, we have to work constantly, daily, hourly with PGA Tour guidelines, federal guidelines, state guidelines, and all the protocols that come with it. So, yes, we've been busy.
Yes. So anyone who wants to go, so people can go. Is there a limit to the number, or how does that work?
Yeah, there's no limit right now. We're working off of Mayor Blangiardi's guidelines for the island of Oahu. And so, yes, for all the updated information, and it could change daily, but right now we would ask you to go to SonyOpenInHawaii.com. That lists all the pertinent information as far as ticket sales, where you can park, things of that nature. So we're still a go and have a lot of protocols in place. So it'll be a healthy and safe environment for this coming Sony.
Yeah, so individuals, you'll need to have proof of vaccination or proof of a negative COVID test within 48 hours of entering the Wailea Country Club and being on property for the Sony Open in Hawaii. There's various tournament entrance checkpoints. Even though, of course, it's outdoors, masks are required. Regardless that it's outside, everyone is expected to wear masks. And, of course, you have to, you know, really be careful about making sure that you adhere to these tournament entry guidelines, because these are following rules that are in place by all the different agencies that Ray Stosic, the tournament director, Sony Open Hawaii, laid out. And I also understand that it is best to leave bags and personal items at home because there's no bag check area at the tournament this year. That makes it,
That's correct, Danielle. What we've done is we partner with Hawaii Pacific Healthcare. So where the bag check usually was at the main entrance, that's now will be housed by healthcare providers that we're working with to make sure your vaccination process is in place. And so please leave your bags at home, but we're expecting a great week.
And I am, too. I mean, this is really exciting. So if you have any questions, SonyOpenInHawaii.com. You can get all the information and, you know, always go to the website because, you know, this thing is changing. You know, it's hard for us to keep up and imagine wanting to get all this information out to people who are really looking forward to going to Sony Open in Hawaii, enjoying the day on the grounds. Wailea Country Club is gorgeous and it feels wonderful, and following your favorite golfer, is you want to keep them safe, you safe, and everybody around you safe. So this is super exciting, Ray, about Sony Open Hawaii nominations for Volunteer of the Year and Charity of the Year, selected as one of the five finalists in the PGA Tour's National Awards. This is amazing.
Yes, we've been fortunate to be one of five out of 45 tournaments around the country. And it just goes to show the dedication for our volunteers. And as you speak, that was last year's event. So, I mean, we had a challenge with COVID last year without spectators and a lot of protocols in place for the first time. So Michelle Akahani and some of our other award winners, it's quite a testament to their ability to show up even during difficult times. And I also wanted to mention in a shout-out to Sony Corporation and the Friends of Hawaii Charities. As you mentioned earlier, even with no spectators last year, we gave the $1.3 million. And Sony and Friends of Hawaii Charities this year have committed also, not knowing what happens from day to day. But that's just true partners that we have that work with the community.
Yeah, it's also very cool how Sony Corporation and through the Friends of Hawaii Charities and everyone working on this is, there's a place to go at Sony Open in Hawaii, and you'll be able to donate. Friends of Hawaii Charities, actually, you go to Sony Open in Hawaii through Friends of Hawaii Charities, providing a bonus boost. So you go to the page and there's a list of all these charities that you would, there's over 50. I didn't count them all, but there's something for everybody's interest. And you make a donation, and then the donation, there's a little boost given. I love how that's done. A little boost is given to your donation through the Friends of Hawaii Charities and Sony Open in Hawaii. So it's a very, very nice way getting people involved, getting them involved in the community, and seeing that not only is the money being raised on site, but money is being raised off site for people who can't go. And then it is boosted by Friends of Hawaii Charities. A really good idea.
Thank you.
Yeah. So in addition to Michelle Akahane, chair of the First Aid Committee for over 20 years?
Yes.
She's a Volunteer of the Year finalist, and this is the first time Sony Open in Hawaii nominations have gone to the finals. So there's five finalists. In addition to Michelle, the award is from the PGA Tour. Another one could come to Project Vision Hawaii. They provide vaccinations, COVID testing, mobile hygiene unit services to Hawaii's homeless communities. And they're a finalist for an award from the PGA Tour for the Charity of the Year. And Project Vision got $5,000 grant to support their efforts in the local community. This is really exciting to see. So the Sony Open field, let's get to the field. Kevin Na, I always thought Kevin should have been a part of the Ryder Cup because he was playing incredible golf this past 2021 and is our defending champion at Sony Open in Hawaii.
Yeah, you know, he's quite a character, a good family man. We've known him for years, and unfortunately, we didn't have spectators last year when he won, but he was a very gracious winner, and he walks off his putts, and he's a pretty exciting player to watch. Also, players coming over from the Century next week. Right now, we have 21 of them committed, and we expect more to come. The deadline for the Sony Open commitment list is next Friday, the 7th, so we still have some time. And we're excited for a great field. And as you've watched over the last few years, that the tour is getting younger. There's a lot of first-time winners at Century this week that maybe you don't know their names, but in years to come, they're fine young golfers, and they're all – it's very competitive, and we'll have many of them all over here next week.
Next week, and including a past champion who was a very young man at the time, Russell Henley. We'll also have Matt Kuchar, and I followed him last year, Jimmy Walker, Zach Johnson, Cameron Smith, and we have Graham McDowell, and a name everybody knows, Hideki Matsuyama, the Masters champion, and he'll, you know, it's Billy Horschel's going to be there, and Garrett Okamura, the assistant pro from Nanea Golf Club on the Big Island. He got the PGA section exemption into the 2022 tournament, and that's super exciting. Congratulations, Garrett, and looking forward to the Sony Open in Hawaii. Ray Stosic, tournament director, Sony Open in Hawaii. It's January 10th through the 16th, Wailea Country Club. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Always appreciate your support, Daniel.
Thank
Aloha.
You. Aloha. Got to get back into the groove here with, you know, with the Sony Open and Century Tournament of Champions. Got to tell you, it's very strange. The last 2 years, I'm not able to do my show on site. And I can't believe it's like 2 years. I haven't been to Sony Open in Hawaii in 2 years. That's incredible. I haven't been to Maui in 2 years. That's like, wow. Life changes, so I'll really appreciate it when I can go back again. We're going to come back with Bob Herrig, longtime golf writer, author of soon-to-be-published Tiger and Phil after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
And here comes the Sony Open PGA Tour stars hit Wailea January 10th through the 16th. You can get up close to the action with your ticket. to get in all the things you can watch, you talk about as adults or kids, you can introduce them and take yourself over there and take a look at how they're playing. You'll learn a little bit of something at the Wailea Country Club. Go to SonyOpenInHawaii.com to get your tickets and be sure to read all the information. Full vaccination with a current photo ID is a requirement, or a proof of negative COVID test taken in the last 48 hours prior to entry with a current photo ID, and masks must be worn indoors and outdoors. There's also the friendsofhawaii.org charity fundraiser. Now, this is really cool. You go to friendsofhawaii.org, scroll down, and you'll see a long list of charities. If you make a donation there until January 26th, at 4 o'clock Hawaii Standard Time, not only will all that money that you donate go to that charity, but there'll also be a little boost from the Friends of Hawaii Charities.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all. Aloha. Waipahu and now Iwilei. Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Bob Herrig, longtime golf writer, author, Tiger and Phil, golf's most fascinating rivalry. He's past president of Golf Writers Association of America, Chick Evans Scholarship graduate at Evans, Indiana University. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey, Happy New Year, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Happy New Year, indeed. Does your neighborhood erupt into, like, explosions at midnight?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All the pets go scurrying in horror. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but and our weather's been great, and so a lot of people are outdoors, which, you know, makes it kind of nice.
Yeah.
Too. I live in Florida, so the weather's been really good here, and so that made for an even more festive occasion, I'd say.
So yeah, it was pouring rain for us, and not a lot of people were outdoors, but there were enough people outdoors making a whole lot of noise.
Yep, exactly.
For all of us last night. So I gotta start, and because there's a lot of kids that are thinking about colleges. And I just want to highlight the fact that there is a Evans Scholarship, a four-year full tuition housing award for golf caddies with financial need. Recipients attend one of 21 colleges, most of which are in the Midwest. The students live in the Evans Scholars Houses on campus all 4 years. Active alumni community mentors students and raises funds for the program. You're a very active one of those alumni peoples.
Yeah, well, it's when you lay it out like that and people hear that and don't know about it, like it's almost they do a double take. Whenever I tell people about it who've not heard, wait, you got a scholarship to go to college for caddying?
Yeah.
That's sort of the response. And my answer is yes. Yes, I did. 4 years paid tuition to Indiana. Obviously, there's a lot of other great schools involved. And it's just a remarkable program. I mean, and it's gotten better here probably in the last 8 to 10 years. They really upped their fundraising game. They've had to. It's expensive to go to college. You know, yeah. I mean, they're spending millions and millions a year to put it's full ride, 4 years, you know, as long as you keep your grades up. I mean, it's not like a grant or, you know, a stipend, you know, it's the full amount. And, you know, you live in an Evans Scholar house, which they own. So they've got all that cost involved. And it's just an unbelievable program. And, you know, it's kind of, for me, it's sort of, I guess, interesting, ironic that I actually went into golf for my career. You know, I mean, obviously that wasn't necessarily the intent when I started out. I started as a caddy in a suburb of Chicago when I was about 12 years old. And that was my exposure to golf. My first exposure to golf. I had to learn everything, you know. And you know, it's been a lifetime, and it's a great way to learn the game. I wish we had more caddy programs today. You know, they've really been hurt by the golf cart and the fact that it's, you know, it's expensive to take a caddy. You know, if you want to take a caddy, it's going to cost you more than it does to take a cart.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of golf clubs are geared for the cart revenue. So, you know, it's not been an easy road for them, and yet they've managed to keep growing it and finding candidates, as you said, mostly in the Midwest, but it's expanded.
Yeah.
You know, they've got chapters in the East now. They have some in the West. They have, I believe at Oregon, they have an Evans House now. They've got one at Colorado. And so it's really, you know, I can't talk highly enough about the program. And you know, the BMW Championship, which is a playoff event on the PGA Tour, that is one of their big events. The Western Golf Association, which runs the Evans Scholars, also runs several tournaments, that one being one. It used to be called the Western Open. In fact, back in the day, the Western Open was sort of a rival to the U.S. Open. It was played all around the country.
Wow.
And you know, the WGA was sort of another version of the USGA. It ended up, you know, changing, but they're still very prominent. They have a Western Amateur. They have a Western Junior. They run a Korn Ferry event. So they're very, very active in running golf tournaments as well as supporting the scholarship program.
I was just looking for the scholarship program website, and it looks like Western Golf Association would be the go-to place, Evans Scholarship Foundation. So I just put in Western Golf Association, and or you could just put in Evans Scholars Foundation into your browser, and it'll find scholarship since 1899, you know, or rather, excuse me, it says championship since 1899 and scholarship since 1930. So, you know, these folks have been doing this a long time, and this is an organization that you can put your faith in and check it out, because this would be very cool for some kids who are into this game of golf, who are caddies, you know, and who could then take advantage and apply. And it's time to apply for your colleges. Doesn't seem like it. I mean, senior years go so fast. Just incredible. Yeah, good. Thank you so much, Bob. And, you know, on the question of, I just was thinking about, I'm looking for something. It's about a caddy. Austin is the caddy for Xander Schauffele. And because he did not get a gold medal, and Xander did, of course, the Schauffele family got Austin Kaiser a gold ring. He got his gold medal in the form of a gold ring. I think that is so cool from the Schauffele family to do that for him. That is awesome. Awesome.
Absolutely. That's really nice. I mean, you know, they only give out a medal to the player. They don't give one to the caddy or the coach or anything. And, you know, I'm not sure it should be any other way, but that was really nice of them to recognize him that way. I'm sure that wasn't cheap. And you know,
yes.
You know, that was an event with no purse. So you know, good for them to do that for him. That's you know, that's a very good deed on Xander's part.
Yeah, it was. I saw that and went, that is so cool. I'm talking with Bob Herrig, longtime golf writer. He is also author of Tiger and Phil: Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry. So before we talk a little bit about your book, got to say, you were at the PNC Championship. What was your impression of Tiger playing? My God, you know, I was like floored when I saw the 3-second clip of him swinging. How did it look?
Well, listen, given what we know what happened, it was remarkable.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anybody expected him to be hitting a golf ball in 2021, actually within a year of the accident. You know, that crash was so horrific, and you know, we don't know all, but we know a lot of what happened. You know, his right leg was very badly damaged. And as you can tell, he's still having a hard time walking. So, like I always, as remarkable as it was, I also temper it by saying he's a long way from playing competitive tour golf. But the fact that he got to this point already is really incredible. I mean, he was hitting a lot of good shots. His swing looks good. It makes you wonder if the time away helped his back.
Oh,
you know, because he wasn't swinging a club, obviously, for 8 months. Because those issues didn't seem to bother him so much. It's just the power and the endurance that he needs. You know, he doesn't have a lot of he doesn't have the strength in that right leg to push off, and I don't know if he ever will. You know, these are all questions that we're going to find out as he goes along, and obviously the whole point of just, you know, people take for granted golfers and fitness, but walking 18 holes, you know, it seems easy enough, but when you've got a bad foot or ankle like he does, it's not so easy. And then those holes, if they become hilly or side hill or, you know, and it's not just the walking, it's the standing for 5 hours. It's waiting. You're not, golfers in pro golf don't sit down very often. It's not like plopping in a cart and riding to the next shot. There's very little time that you are actually not standing. You know, maybe there's an occasional bench or you might sit on your bag here or there if you're waiting on a tee. It's pretty rare, though. You're standing, walking, you know, for 4 or 5 hours, and it takes a toll. Now you had to do that over 4 days. You've got to practice to get ready for it. You can't just show up, you know. So it's going to be monumental task to get back. I think he's sort of already alluded to that. We're not going to see him often, but, you know, I think we'll see him in 2022. I think later rather than sooner. I think the talk of the Masters is very much premature. I don't see any way how he can do that. He's proven us wrong many times, but I just think that's a big ask.
I love how you said that. Proven us wrong many times. well, you're writing a book, and it's coming out April 25th, 2022. And by the way, this book is available for a pre-order. You must have been writing before this happened.
Yeah, well, you know, interesting story. I was in the throes of it big time when the when Tiger's crash occurred last February. And, you know, I had a pause there for a little while and kind of reassess how I wanted to go. Because you can't not acknowledge this horrific accident. And yet we didn't really know what the outcome was going to be. And so I was in this sort of precarious position of, you know, having to address it, but also not knowing where it was going to lead, because obviously there's a lead time in getting a book done and getting it out. And so, yeah, it caused me some, I had to reassess a little bit. I had to spend some time addressing the accident.
Yeah.
And I did. I kind of rewrote parts of the book because of it, because, you know, it changed things. I mean, I think there was a thought, at least in my mind, I wasn't trying to write this book to say their careers were over. I was leaving open the possibility that they could do more. In fact, you know, I had another thing to deal with when Phil won the PGA Championship. Obviously,
right.
That became, you know, that was in May. And, you know, I had to pretty much have the majority of the book done over the summer. And so that was another aspect that, well, frankly, I wasn't expecting.
Right.
You know, it changed a lot. I mean, the records changed. Instead of 5 majors, it's 6. Now it's 45 tour wins. You know, he's got more majors than any active player other than Tiger. And so it's, you know, it helps, actually. It only enhances the Tiger-Phil story. And that's one thing that Phil has on Tiger. He's now the oldest major champion. and it's a pretty impressive thing to have beside your name. So, but as far as the crash, yes, definitely. It's talked about in there a good little bit because you just can't avoid it. It's such a an impactful moment in his life. And we're still not quite sure how this is going to end.
You know, it's really, truly, we don't know how this is going to end. You know, we take it one day at a time at this point in life. What's interesting is if Phil Mickelson is, 5 years older than Tiger Woods? Or 4.5, something like that? And Tiger Woods won 8 majors before Phil won one, and yet there is a rivalry. How did that develop?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I address this in there. You could make the argument that Tiger had no rival. You know, I mean, when you look at the record, I mean, Tiger's rival might have just been history. It's very fair to argue that his rival was, you know, going against, trying to get to Jack's record, trying to get the most wins in tour history. You know, he's pretty much got double the number of wins Phil has almost. He's almost got 3 times as many majors. So are they really rivals? But yet, when you dig down into it, their careers intertwine so much. It's interesting to see how that all occurred. I mean, Phil was a pro for almost 4-plus years before Tiger turned pro, and he had won 9 times already. And Phil was Tiger as a kid and as a junior and as an amateur before Tiger was. I mean, yeah. Phil had an amazing record as a young player. You know, he did something that Tiger never came close to doing, which is winning a tour event as an amateur. You know, Phil won the Tucson Open in 1991 when he was a junior at Arizona State. Tiger never came close to winning a tour event when he was an amateur. In fact, his best finish was 22nd. But yet Tiger had the great junior record. You know, he won the 3 U.S. Juniors, the 3 U.S. AMs. And everybody focused on that. Well, he won an NCAA title. Well, Phil won 3 NCAA titles. Phil also won a U.S. amateur. And if you'd have just thought about, if you'd just taken their amateur careers and what they did as amateurs and pro events, not knowing what we know now, you'd probably look at Phil's record and say he would have been the better pro. His amateur match play success does not portend pro success. And Tiger, as dramatic as some of those amateur wins were, you know, you're coming back from 4 holes down with 6 to play. It's not stroke play. It's not the same thing. You're beating one guy at a time. You're not beating an entire field. And so there was no real, you know, that obviously when he turned pro, there was a lot of expectations. But that didn't necessarily mean he was going to win like he has won. So, you know, and then they had quite the run against each other from about 2004 to 2009. That 5-6 year period in there, they both won a bunch of majors. They won a bunch of tour events. They didn't necessarily get along. In fact, they had that calamitous Ryder Cup in 2004 where they were actually paired together twice.
Yeah.
And lost both.
Yeah.
And I addressed that very heavily. That was at a time when, you know, those two guys didn't want to really say 2 words to each other. and they were put together as partners. And, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about that over the years. They actually didn't play as bad as we think. You know, but the bottom line is they lost twice, once in a horrible fashion in the second match. And the U.S. got drilled. You know, it wasn't even close. It was a rout after day one. And the two best American players were, you know, somewhat humiliated and really wanted nothing to do with each other. So it was, you know, that's kind of highlighting the tension in their lives for a good part of their careers. Obviously, it softened here as they went on. You know, I don't think they're ever best buddies, but they were, and who said they had to be? You know, Tiger viewed Phil as a threat. He one time viewed him as underperforming, and then he viewed him as a threat. You know, Phil got better. Phil started winning more. Anyway, I try to capture all that over 300 some odd pages, and it was quite the journey to get to the end.
I can only imagine. And Bob Herrig,
recording started.
Ooh, I'm really looking forward to, you know, having an opportunity to read this. It's coming out in April, right? I think it's April 25th, 2022. So we're already in 22. So we've only got a couple more months to go, and you can pre-order this book. Bob Herrig's, he's a longtime golf writer. You know Bob. Author of Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry. Thanks so much for being on the show. Very interesting.
Hey, thanks for having me. Have a great day and Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year. Aloha. Coming back, we're going to take a lesson, yes, with Master PGA. This is Claude Brousseau. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha, this is Harris English, your defending champion at the Century Tournament of Champions. This year, the tournament invites you and your Ohana to celebrate the community on Saturday, January 8th, as part of our Ohana Day, presented by Southwest Airlines. This interactive day will feature fun for the whole family, including food trucks, special ticket packages, cakey activities, and more. Purchase your tickets today at CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
And here comes the Sony Open PGA Tour stars hit Waialae January 10th through the 16th. You can get up close to the action with your ticket to get in all the things you can watch. You talk about as adults or kids, you can introduce them and take yourself over there and take a look at how they're playing. You'll learn a little bit of something at the Waialae Country Club. Go to SonyOpenInHawaii.com to get your tickets and be sure to read all the information. Full vaccination with a current photo ID is a requirement, or a proof of negative COVID test taken in the last 48 hours prior to entry with a current photo ID, and masks must be worn indoors and outdoors. There's also the friendsofhawaii.org charity fundraiser. Now, this is really cool. You go to friendsofhawaii.org, scroll down, and you'll see a long list of charities. If you make a donation there until January 26th at 4 o'clock Hawaii Standard Time, not only will all that money that you donate go to that charity, but there'll also be a little boost from the Friends of Hawaii Charities.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Master PGA. You know, Claude, I'll always get that backwards. Director of Player Development, Waialae Golf Academy at Waialae Golf Club on Maui. He's Golf Channel Academy lead coach, ranked number one in the state of Hawaii by Golf Digest's list of best teachers 2022-2023 in every state. Second time in a row. He's also number one for 2019-2020. And Golf Digest Best Teachers in Your State is a list. And, you know, it's just wonderful to have Claude Brousseau on with us. He's also, he's got his own section. His own section of Morning Read, the golf page for Sports Illustrated. It's called Golf Tips in Paradise. So if you have made a resolution to do something about your game this year, welcome in Claude Brousseau.
Hello, Danielle. Happy New Year's to you and all your listeners around the world.
Thank you very much. And, you know, I was reading, Claude always gives me notes, which is very, very good, because then we can give you a better experience. So if you've resolved to do something about your putting, why putting? Why did you choose putting? So many people want you to use the driver and all this, the big stick.
Yes, Danielle. Here's the reason I suggest that they take the resolution and keep it for the entire year, the using the putter, because Putting is, I call that the equalizer of the game, meaning that every golfer can be number one in the world at putting. Nobody, not everybody can hit the drive, you know, like the tour players or single digit in the gap that hit it far. But putting is the only club you use on every hole. So you need to love putting and get good at it. So I suggest practicing putting first. And I want people to remember that practice make permanent, not perfect.
Okay, I don't.
So
let's stop there. Let's stop there and just say that again, because practice makes permanent, not perfect. What do you mean?
I mean that when you go in practice, you need to have a purpose. You need to have what we call dedicated practice time. You better to practice short time, but with some clear intention. Like, let's say in putting, 90% of what happened to the ball is due to the club face. The most important assets, I call that, for the golfer, is be aware. Now, putting, you would be aware of where the club face is. So here's a fun and very productive training way to do it.
Okay.
So let's say you find, you can, and then why I like putting as well is that you can do that in the comfort of your home, because you need to find a little time, like even if it's just 5 minutes a day. So you can have a putting mat, let's say at home, or when you go to the course, you go to the course, first time you practice is putting. Let's say you find a 3-footer straight uphill putt, short. And then now you will call, you will train on developing what I call awareness of the club face. So what you do is, I know it may sound strange for some of the golfer here, you need to practice missing the ball, the hole to the right. So with your hands, you can start with two hands if you want, but move your wrist and your hands in a way that the ball miss the hole to the right, let's say 3 times. So now you're aware of what you do with your wrist to make the ball go to the right. Then you do 3 that you miss the hole to the left. So now you start to be aware what happened, how you move your hands. And, of course, you always finish by what you really want to do is roll the ball in the hole. So this way now you, again, be aware of what you do with your hands and wrist and roll the ball in the hole.
That's brilliant. Okay, that's just brilliant because you're teaching yourself to understand the act of moving something. It's always said that when you are actively engaged in throwing, you don't think, you just throw. And when it comes to making the ball turn to the, you're the actively engaging in doing something, so you're turning the ball instead of just trying to go straight, which is like makes you nervous. So that is really, you get to know what your hands are doing and what the club face is doing. And what about this well putt, the mat? What is this? You were talking about having a mat because you really can do all of this at home. What is the well putt mat?
The well putt mat is a putting mat, okay? And then it's one of the best on the market for many reasons, because I don't know how they did it, but I think it's brilliant. They have on the same putting mat, different speed depending on which way direction you putt on the mat. Then they also have many lines there that help you to do, let's say, a putt sideways, let's say from right to left, left to right. They also have a little booklet that comes with the mat to give you many exercises that you can do. So that's why I like
Wow.
putting mat so much.
That's cool. Yeah. And then you can find a nice little place to do it. I suppose it can be in your living room on the carpet. You could put the mat down
Correct.
On that, or if, you know, whatever it is. That's great. Okay, so first we've developed face awareness. That was turning the ball to the left, turning the ball to the right. Now, the next issue, of course, is distance control. And I was watching, you know, some of the tournaments of the past year, and Lexi Thompson was leading in one tournament, and she just lost her ability to putt. I mean, she putt short, she went to the side. It was like, wow. And fortunately, she was able to smile, you know, in this process of not winning a major. So distance control can really get to you. You think you're doing it right. Tell us how to make it better.
Correct. Yes, because in putting, there is directional skills and distance control, like you said, Daniel. So distance control, that's very easy way to do it is right now, most of your listener and putter that I see at the academy, when they putt, they do a practice swing. However, their eyes are looking at the putter or are looking right down at their feet, I will say. Now, to gauge the distance, meaning how much energy you need in the swing, it will be a lot better if you watch all the better player while they're doing a practice swing, their eyes are on the target. So it takes a little bit of practice, but when you do your practice swing, keep your eyes on the hole, let's say, and move the putter. So your visual system will guide what I call your motor system and knowing just instinctively in your instinct how big the swing needs to be. Of course, when you putt, you look at the ball. However, just feel how big the motion needs to be, and then you'll be amazed how quick your distance control will be better. So that's an easy way. Do a practice swing looking at the hole, then address the ball, look at the ball, and react to that sensation you just developed in your body.
Wow. Okay.
Now,
yes.
If your tendency as a golfer is always short, I will say you need to trick your brain. So instead of looking at the hole itself, you imagine a virtual hole, let's say 2 feet beyond the real hole. And while you're doing that swing, you look at the virtual hole, the practice one. It will be the same thing when you putt uphill. Guess what? If you putt downhill or you always do long, we do the opposite. You imagine a hole closer to you. So this way, it's a very good way to control your distance.
Wow.
Lastly, I will say, every golfer measures every golf shot with other clubs, but many of them do not measure the putt. I think the brain needs a number to be more performant. So what I mean by that, you won't be slow because most of the time you need to go close to the hole to look what's there to read the green. But I would suggest measuring either just with the pace, let's say from the ball to the hole, let's say it's 10 pace. You would build a memory bank when you do the practice swing what 10 pace is. If you like number, let's say a pace for most of the people is 3 feet, so 10 times 3, 30 footer. So now you have a data bank in your golfer, I call that vault of good putts, that you then to validate that, you will do the practice swing, and your distance control will be a lot better.
You're going to be on Oahu on Saturday, the 22nd. Island Pacific Golf Academy with Oliver Aliquiano. You're going to be hosting the Aimpoint Express Read Session.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is.
Tell us, what time is that approximately?
We would have session all day.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. So I would fly in the morning, and then all the information is on Island Pacific Golf Academy information. People can register in advance. And let's talk rapidly about Aimpoint Express Read. Your listener and golfer need to understand that, yes, there is a simple way. Don't need any devices. It's just knowing how to do it to stop guessing how much break you need to play on any putt, any green, any type of putter, anybody. It's almost like, give an analogy, Danielle. adding a Bushnell or a device like that, that, okay, if you measure, oh, I got 132 yards to the green, but this Endpoint Express reading way of reading green allowed us to quantify the break. So that means we know this break is, let's say, curving 18 inches right to left. The next one, 3 feet. It's amazing. You see, when you watch golf on TV, you will see many players use their fingers, and that's what they use. It's so simple. The youngest player that I helped with that is Ethan. He's from Oahu. He flew to Maui to see me to learn that. He was 7 years old when I showed him that, and he's using it since. It's amazing how it's simple but very, very efficient.
You're seven.
That's what we'll go over.
That's wonderful. This is on Saturday, January 26th, Island Pacific Golf Academy with Oliver Oliquiano hosting the Aimpoint Express Read Session. You can register at islandpacificgolf.com. And this sounds like a lot of fun. I'll be able to see you then, Claude. I haven't seen you in way too long.
that would be fun. Fantastic to see you.
Yeah. And by the way, Claude has a really cool book out. You know, your book is pretty special. And you can get it from claudeforbestgolf.com. You go there, claudeforbestgolf.com, and he'll even autograph it for you if you would like. So just go there for that. And Claude, thank you for being on the New Year Day, the first day of the new year. Sorry it was so a long wait, and I appreciate you very, very much. And the way you teach is wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Daniel. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to talk with you and your listener.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy at Wailea Golf Club on Maui, and a Golf Channel Academy lead coach. We're going to come back. Diana DeLucia wraps up the show, President and Editor, Golf Kitchen. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club tip number 72. Don't throw your club over the fence. It slows down play. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments. Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
KORL, YNI, Honolulu.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Iwilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Diana DeLucia, President and Editor, Golf Kitchen Magazine, author, Golf Kitchen Books, founder, Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Awards, and creator of Golf Kitchen Events. She also produces this really cool book that's called Working Journal. Welcome into the clubhouse, Diana.
Aloha, everyone, and Danielle. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, indeed. You already have a Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Awards date for this coming year?
Yes, we do. It's being set for September the 10th. 2022.
Fantastic. It's not hard for me to read that.
It has a ring to it, right?
Yes.
We have a big amount of time now to get things in order, and we're focusing on young chefs under 40 this year.
And how are you going to, how do you mean focusing on?
Well, we would like to highlight younger chefs in the private golf and country club space because we're trying to create awareness in the industry to the younger people in the industry. Say you're a culinary school student like the CIA or Johnson & Wales or a high school that has culinary programs. There's a disconnect with the young American kids that are in the culinary schools. There's a complete disconnect. They don't really have any awareness that there is a absolutely incredible career path in this industry, particularly in the last 10 years and going forth. And the pandemic has made that much more apparent, but there just seems to be a disconnect, you know, and now that the restaurants are struggling, it may not be a great career path for a culinary student, but the private club industry is absolutely fabulous and continuing to develop into the future.
Yes. So private and resort culinary industry working with high schools and colleges is really the move you'd like to see to feature the kids, you know, showing them just how great it would be. And the reason restaurants, you know, going into restaurants right now isn't the best time is because in the private industry, I understand there is more business now in the private country clubs and than at any other time because everybody, it's a safe place to go?
Yeah, not only that, over the last 7 years, even before the pandemic, I mean, the culinary industry, as you know, I've been covering for, you know, almost 12 years in this space globally. It has been improving so much. I mean, the clubs are like really need a lot of really excellent culinary staff. They need younger people because, you know, there's pretty much a missing generation of chefs because you kind of have all the older chefs that are 50 going into their 50s now, but there's not enough younger people up and coming to take their positions when they move on. So it's really important to contact all the culinary schools and like why are they not, you know, highlighting the fact that there's great careers in the private club industry. How do we get the awareness out to the high school students that are graduating and the colleges? And how do we let them know that, hey, it's not like this old snotty club industry anymore. Like it's more modern. They're really getting into the culinary scene and the wine scene. And now it's, you know, there's a lot of amazing chefs and talent. And even those chefs, they want to bring in the younger chefs because they need to pass the baton down to the next generation, and it's super important.
Yes, and do you hear them talking about it?
All the time.
Yeah,
all the time. Yeah, I have had so many conversations about this topic, and the pandemic has just made it even more important because there's such a staff shortage because there's just no awareness.
Yeah.
And kids are, like culinary people in front and back of the house are leaving the restaurant industry in droves and they're not going back to hospitality. And a lot of that is because they don't understand that there is this amazing culinary opportunities in the private club sector. They just don't know and they think it's just some old fuddy-duddies playing golf. They don't understand that it's not like that anymore.
Yeah, I hear you. And, you know, we have so many resorts, too. So it goes for the resort culinary industry, too, I imagine.
I think the resorts are more, they're more highlighted by the culinary schools, definitely. Because the resorts have always been there, and they're not private.
Okay.
Anybody can go to a resort. So they have more access and more information. But because the private club space in itself is private,
Yes.
You know, it's very hard to kind of open that up to everybody. But, you know, the industry itself has been, they're more likely to want their culinary team highlighted because they understand, you know, not everybody can go to the club. But it's okay to highlight your culinary team because that attracts new members.
Wonderful.
So I think, you know, everyone's highlighting their golf pros, their golf course. Why not highlight your culinary team? I mean, that will bring more people, you know, into the club space on the younger level, in my belief.
Yes, yes. Well, as you wrote, the private golf and country clubs are great, community-based, great members who may be able to provide counsel and assist in future career opportunities, pay full benefits, and often housing, and the relationships you build at the club will last a lifetime if you care enough to foster them. I think that's really great information for young people. The Wine Dinners for Clubs Help. We've got about 2 minutes.
Okay, the Wine Dinners, we are going to be running those for clubs who want to participate across the country in 2022. I can't announce the clubs that we have so far because we have to wait for the season to move on, but I've got about 5 lined up.
Wow, cool.
Already. I'm really excited about that because, you know, I want to be able to give back. And I think, you know, Rob Goulet's Club's Help is a really good foundation. They've got a great vision. And I think it's a great way for the private clubs to give back to the community, to their own community, by the way.
Yeah. So Club's Help is an organization where a private country club can choose what they think their community needs, and then they go out and do work to raise the funds that will go directly to that particular need, not necessarily a need that's been dictated by a national organization, which is that's why Rob Goulet was so brilliant in creating this particular way of doing it, you know, that he created a new plan, a new way to follow, a new plan to follow. Yeah, you know, this is wonderful. And having you as a friend is absolutely fabulous. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you and how I just respect and admire everything that you've been doing and how you've moved this forward with your Culinary Excellence Awards and the program that you have. It's just wonderful. And you commend Morgan Gregory, the president of Glen Arbor, and his staff for their continued commitment to raising awareness and regarding the high-level culinary talent in the private club industry. Great work, Diana. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle, and happy 2022.
Happy 2020. It's going to be a happy 2022. It's all in our attitude. Who's on the cover of the next magazine?
It will be Mr. Fernando Silva. It's our first wine cover.
Oh, it's a first wine cover. That's fantastic. And I still have to get our young lady, our 26-year-old executive chef, on the show. Hopefully when things settle down, she'll have the time to be on the show. She was on the cover of this year, this last magazine. Thank you for being on the show.
Aloha.
Aloha. And I want to thank our sponsors. Here comes the Sony Open. PGA Tour stars are going to be hitting the Wailea Country Club January 10th to the 16th, and you can get up close to the action and learn a thing or two while you're following your favorite player. But of course, to get your ticket to get on the course at Wailea Country Club, you will have to have a vaccination and proof of that, or you will need to have a test, a negative COVID test, last 48 hours. You'll also have to have, of course, a current photo ID or proof of, you know, that you've taken the test, as I just said. So you want to get in touch with SonyOpenInHawaii.com. Just go to that site. They have all the information that you need. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store. It's across from Home Depot's Iwile parking structure on Alakava in Iwile. You'll find all the Aloha Power equipment you can count on. Riding mowers and robotic mowers and chainsaws and weed whackers and generators and a whole lot more, and some of that stuff you just might need after this long weekend. Aloha Power Equipment in Waipahu and their mega store on Alakava across from Home Depot's parking structure. We put power at your fingertips. That's Aloha Power Equipment. Century Tournament of Champions continuing to work closely with the PGA Tour, local and state governments, and leading health officials to deliver a successful tournament in a safe and healthy manner. It's just 3 days away. Go to Century Tournament of Champions for the latest information on ticket sales. That's all you have to do. Put that in and it'll take you straight there. MD Restoration. Flood or fire disasters, you need help from MD Restoration at any time of the day or night. Right away, they will be there. If that strikes at your home, like we've got all this water, all these floods, I've heard from people, call MD Restoration, licensed contractors. They'll do your cleanup, and then they can do the repair. The number is 528-3434. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2022.